Hello and welcome to our UKCP podcast. We're recording during the COVID-19 restrictions. Restricted measures mean that both psychotherapists and clients are adapting to new online circumstances. In this episode, our CEO, Sarah Niblock, talks to UKCP psychotherapist Charlotte Fox-Weber. Charlotte is the head of psychotherapy at the School of Life, an organisation co-founded by the philosopher and author Alain de Botton. It aims to help people develop emotional intelligence. It offers workshops, classes, and therapy sessions, and produces books and films on topics such as finding fulfilling work, mastering relationships, and achieving calm. The coronavirus crisis has meant much of the way we work and live has changed. Charlotte and Sarah discuss the new online practice environment of psychotherapists and psychotherapeutic counsellors.
So we thought we'd record this interview. It's what, full month into lockdown, and we want to put psychotherapy on the couch in the context of COVID-19. There's been so much media attention placed on mental well-being of the nation, and a lot of which has been generated by UKCP in our PR and campaigns work. And that's great. When I took on this role, I was tasked with making UKCP a household name. But today, we want to take a pause from all that, and I want to put a foot in your shoe as a psychotherapist through Charlotte and get a much better understanding of what it's like, a deeper awareness of psychotherapists and psychotherapeutic counsellors right now, what this experience feels like. I'm looking forward to exploring with you how we can look beyond all of those regulations and how we can think about the more emotional aspects, how we can harness the opportunities, the creativity, the inner authority of this incredible profession at a time when it's so urgently needed. Enough from me. I want to turn to you, Charlotte. I want you to tell us about yourself, your role within the School of Life, which is a remarkable organisation. You've done so much to demystify psychotherapy.
Well, it's great to be talking with you, firstly. So, hello. I feel like in some ways psychotherapy has never been more relevant, but it's, of course, incredibly challenging to do at this time. So it's interesting because the therapy service at the School of Life is much more viable at the moment than other departments where they simply don't have the option of working remotely. In a certain way, we're quite fortunate that we're able to carry on. Of course, it's not totally optimal, and there are incredible challenges to doing this work online, but it's possible. So I think a lot can come from this. And our therapists have been able to mostly carry on. So I started the therapy service in 2015, and we are now 5 years in, and we always worked online. We did about 30% of our work online. So it's very interesting at the moment because there are some clients where very little has changed. They always worked remotely and they carry on. So in spite of the incredible fluctuations of world events, there's some kind of continuity. Mm-hmm. And for other people, they've switched from in-person to online, and that's an incredible challenge, of course. Yeah. So it's something that, of course, we never could have predicted. And at the same time, some of our therapists actually feel quite excited by the challenge because, and I hope I can talk about this at some length later on in our discussion, but in some ways, these conversations in therapy have become even more important and meaningful and life-affirming. So I think that it is incredibly relationally rich.
So I wanted to ask you, as one of our valued psychotherapists on the receiving end of all of our emails and things at the moment, UKCP, we've flooded your inboxes with guidelines on remote working. But aside from the procedural, I'm keen to hear what pressures practitioners like yourselves are really under in the context of this pandemic. Tell me a little bit about how you're feeling.
So I think that the lack of privacy on both sides is one of the challenges. I think online therapy can be most effective when you have a private space, and privacy is incredibly difficult in lockdown if you're living with other people. And whether it's children, it's one thing if we try to be flexible about children interrupting, especially if it's a client's child. When it's our own child or children, it's incredibly stressful. And we have to make do. And for many of our therapists, we are working from small rooms in small enough spaces, and there are children who would normally be at school or in childcare out in the world who are just in the next room. And even if they don't interrupt, there's the possibility of disruption. And I think that's very anxiety provoking. I also think a lot of our clients are troubled by the lack of privacy. They either feel that they can't speak freely, or they select details and kind of speak in code, which just makes it a much more censored activity. And we know that therapy works best when there's radical honesty. And when you can't be radically honest, you're kind of limping along, and it's hard. And again, we've had to be extra flexible in those ways, sometimes switching to audio, sometimes switching the time of day you would normally do the session. So I think for therapists who love the continuity of the frame, this is hard. People are used to having their sessions on Tuesday at 4 o'clock in person, and now it has to be ad hoc scheduling done remotely. It's a huge change. But again, when you can carry on, I think it's endlessly worthwhile and rich. I think another huge pressure is around money. And financial pressures have affected our clients. It's affected our therapists. So even if we're still able to work, some of us feel very needy financially and very anxious. And we're wondering if our clients will be able to pay us. And our clients are talking about everything they're going through. We feel incredible guilt keeping the fee as it is. I say we, I'm speaking for certain therapists. Some, of course, don't feel any guilt about this. But for some of our therapists with guilt issues anyway, this has been a massive trigger where they felt pressure to either reduce the fee or sometimes just get rid of the fee altogether, which is complicated psychologically. We know that money is part of the work if you're providing a service where money has always been part of the work. Of course, it's different if you're part of an organization that's offering, you know, that's offering charitable sessions and if you're volunteering. But I think that we are feeling a huge amount of empathy for our clients, and seeing what they're going through financially is hard. I also think that there's incredible death anxiety just worldwide. I've never heard the word death and dying and dead so many times. Normally, death is a taboo. And in a way, this is an opportunity to get comfortable with our own death anxiety. I'm not saying we can entirely resolve it, but for those of us who worry about our health and mortality anyway, this is a huge moment for that.
Thank you, Charlotte, because what I'm hearing here is a very, very raw evocation of therapists going through trauma in the same way that their clients are. And it's so rare. It's so important for me to know that. I mean, you mentioned earlier about authority. And it's an interesting thing because, you know, as the chief exec, it's something I noticed, you know, when I first joined UKCP, I was interested in how I almost sensed from some members that they thought I was like the police. You know, I was the head of the police who was there to inspect and to keep everybody in line. And that's not how I see my role at all. It's very much about being there, being that space of safety, and I'd like to think sanctuary and support at a time like this. And obviously a crisis like this means that an organization like UKCP has to bend with that and understand that emotional dimension that's held here as a member organization as much as we are a charity.
Well, and so we're getting in touch with our own vulnerability and having to be a little bit more human, which is certainly no bad thing. I think it's made a lot of our therapists more Yalom-esque in owning our vulnerability and disclosing some of that. It doesn't mean you need to freak out to your clients, but you can acknowledge that this is incredibly difficult, and you can be nurturing about it.
There are no easy answers, and the answers that psychotherapists probably arrive at themselves. I'm very interested in this notion of reflexive practice or praxis. Mm. There seems to be this kind of view, again, in some parts of our profession that it's all about practice. It's all about practice. But every single judgment that's made is a distillation of so much experience and so much education in that split second moment. And I want our therapists to feel confidence in their decision making in these situations,
and that's very trusting of you.
But I'm also conscious that people will have very, very specific questions. I mean, we're encouraging people to email or write in, and we're trying to update an FAQ with the most typically asked questions as we go along. And
so if I can put you on the couch for a minute, tell me what your thoughts are about rules in general and authority.
Our code of ethics and professional practice, absolutely a set of essential practices and behaviours which are there to protect the psychotherapist as much as they are to protect the client. I think it's really a question for psychotherapists to say, well, am I absolutely confident in my experience and ability to handle a particular client or a particular situation or working online? And that's why I'm so impressed with psychotherapy and so drawn to it, is because psychotherapists are so reflexive and they will think about everything that they do.
And in some ways, yes, we are always having to revise our rules and make adjustments and think for ourselves. And no matter how long your training is, when you're applying insight and you're actually doing the work as a therapist, you are having to think on your feet all the time and constantly customize your approach for each client.
I get my authority from the clients, from the public at large. Because we're a charity, I use their authority to campaign for access to high quality psychotherapies for all, because my foot has to remain in the shoe of those who are most vulnerable. So I don't see myself as an authority rules figure in the same way, perhaps, to our members. And, you know, I'm just trying to keep them out of difficulty in the first place. And so it's been an interesting time for interrogating leadership and unpacking it. We need to create more of a community within UKCP for exploring these questions ourselves. There are certain absolute non-negotiables, absolutely. But I think that we need more of a conversation and a community and a dialogue about a lot of how the profession evolves in a situation where the psychotherapists are as much a part of the material as their clients.
And it's much more I thou in that sense. We are all in this together. There is no one who can say that COVID-19 doesn't affect them in some capacity. And so we are all going through this, as you say. And yeah. I think it's traumatic in the sense that we still don't know how to tell the story of what's happening, because it's all unfolding. And it's incredibly interesting what you're saying about rules and how it applies, in part because I'm not sure the government has trusted us. So I wonder if that makes us want you to trust us more, how it plays out around issues of trust and authority. I think there's something very empowering in all that you say about trusting therapists to make their own calls to an extent. And I, especially since we can't be trusted in other areas of life right now, and we may not trust ourselves entirely, because again, We're so unsure about how things work with this virus. It can make a lot of us just incredibly insecure. And finding a safe space. I mean, I think, again, UKCP, when I see messages from you guys, I think it gives me some sense that there is still a safe space. It's also very interesting, all that you say about community and connecting, because it's one of the great paradoxes of COVID-19, that we have to be apart in order to realize the importance of being together. We have to be separated from each other in order to really value what it is to be in the same space, on the same page. Community. I've never heard the word community so much. And it's interesting because we're not allowed to be out in the community. So there is something about what's been taken away from us temporarily that has made us appreciate some of these values. And I think a lot of that is playing out in the work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so pleased to hear that you feel we've offered some kind of safe space and sanctuary to members, because that suggests we've got the communications tone right. We always try and be as human and as authentic as we can and not corporate with members. And you know, that's what I want us to be for, God, we've got more than 10,000 members now and the public. Our office team are constantly reflecting on what they do and how they can refine and improve and adapt that. And, you know, I want this to be also a safe space where the therapeutic profession can self-reflexively explore, enhance, innovate, disrupt even, asking tough questions up front about how we operate, how we structure ourselves, and whether any of this is a help or hindrance to public understanding and access. These things are important. So a safe space like the therapeutic room should be where members can interrogate very difficult material, but in the very best interests of the client. And so for me, the client is the public. And I think that's what I hope that we can achieve. I mean, we're going through a project at the moment to upgrade our website because it doesn't offer that dialogue. It's quite Reithian at the moment. You know, we tell members what we think it's important for them to know, which is very 1920s. We're in 2020 now, and I want us to be in community with members. Of course, there is the policing role. We do have that within UKCP. Not so much policing, but there's a regulatory role that we have to fulfil. That's one part of what should be a much bigger dialogue. Our aim is to protect, not to police.
Good distinction. And again, I think people are unsure of boundaries in every way. The boundary issues of social distancing, I can kind of evoke a lot of that in therapy for how close you can get and who can be with whom. And I think some of that has played out in managing caseloads. So we have some therapists who really don't feel safe having some of their clients at home online, even though it's only online. And I think that's where we still have to have agency and authority individually. Yeah. That we have the right to make our own choices in those ways. So great if you can continue with some of your clients remotely, but nor should therapists feel completely crowded and kind of enmeshed in that way against their will. And again, we don't get to choose who we can physically be with. So I think having some degree of choice in knowing who you want to work with goes a long way.
I'm interested to think about some of the opportunities for psychotherapy. I'm always looking out for a good story about this. I tell you what, you know, for me, I think this whole crisis has shown us the future where we're all in this together and yes, well-being is protected. We can only exist in community. And I think we've all had enough of this trajectory of separation. And so we're at quite a crossroads right now as human beings. And I just wondered what opportunities you think that offers for the profession.
I, not to sound like a corona capitalist, well, I now will sound like that. I think we are meaning-making creatures, and I think that we can make meaning from this. And you hear the word connecting, connection, just all the time. People are longing to connect, and we are incredibly useful when it comes to that. And we help people connect with themselves. We help people connect with others. We, of course, connect with people. I think that therapists are great connectors, and I can't say that enough. So we have a great deal to offer. I think that we also can embrace the existential issues that have emerged from this of who are we, what matters, death anxiety, freedom, choice. All of those issues are playing out for clients and for the world at large. So again, we come in with a lot to embrace. I think as a species, we're quite vulnerable right now, and therapists are quite attentive to the vulnerability of being alive. We know that we're vulnerable, and I don't mean to sound grandiose to suggest that not everyone knows that, but in a way, I think that therapists are particularly attuned to the vulnerability of being human. Yes. So I think that we are needed. I also think that therapists are quite good in general at tolerating uncertainty. Not saying we're amazing at it, but we know it's one of the givens of life. And I think that this whole situation has forced us, again, as a species, to tolerate uncertainty, to tolerate the unknown. So therapists know how to bear witness to that. We have a skill set that really can be put to use here.
I feel incredibly hopeful about this profession now at a time when I just feel there's much more of an emotional literacy within society. I mean, at the moment, any bit of spare time I get, and I'm sure it's the same with lots of other people, you kind of do a bit of an inventory of your life. It causes you to reflect on what's working, what isn't, without minimizing the extreme hardship that most are facing. It's important to recognize that this is a rare moment and something extraordinary that we as individual members of this global profession can understand and deconstruct the whole fallacy of separateness which prevails. So if there's any silver lining, it's that we're actually being marshaled, aren't we, as a human race, to embrace with humility that we're part of a greater whole. And I think it's incumbent upon psychotherapists to really push out there about how psychotherapy works, and a real space to, with individuals, but more collectively, with couples, with groups, you know, to really explore what we aspire to be.
I also think it's a moment where we are all reflecting. So people who might be too busy in their ordinary lives to stop and pause and have therapy are now in lockdown, forced to some extent to examine life. And I'm not saying that everyone is doing it entirely or that any of us can do it entirely, but we are reflecting as a species. We're thinking about where we are. We're thinking about the past. We're thinking about how we got here, and we have no idea what the future will hold in certain ways. And I think that's a really interesting space to be. I also think the other thing that's coming up again and again in therapy at the moment is the choices you made for how you're in your situation for lockdown. So why are you with this partner? Not all of those choices may be completely conscious, but how did I get here? And where else could I have ended up? So people are thinking about the couples that they're in, the families that they're in, what it's like to be single, what it's like to be separated from friends. They're, again, just questioning a lot of their choices and considering it all. I think that there are particular issues around freedom and meaning right now. So back to the kind of existential aspect to what's happening in the world, freedom is more necessary than ever emotionally, because we can't have it physically and we can't even have it financially. And there's so many other restrictions. One of the opportunities for therapy is psychological freedom. In a way, it's the biggest gift that we can give our clients. They may not be able to go places, but they can roam around emotionally. They may not be able to predict the future or even predict when the lockdown will end, but they can roam to the past. They can wander off in very surprising and creative directions conversationally. So again, I think we're offering the most valuable kind of liberty that people need.
You've spoken so evocatively and so passionately about your experiences and those of many in our profession. How do you find moments where you can detach in these times?
I think allowing for a little bit of time to freak out each day is helpful, and just having a mini melt. It doesn't have to be a full-on meltdown, but some moment where I allow myself to recognize that this is hard. And I think embracing the massive range, because I'm also having moments of incredible calm and joy. And I think a lot of people are. I think people are feeling all sorts of things. And it's such a roller coaster. And I think being permissive internally is really important and really self-caring. And that can mean going for a walk. It can mean doing star jumps. It can mean taking a shower. This sounds like a very small thing, but I actually think taking a shower and really enjoying that shower goes an incredibly long way. I also think making choices is just supremely important for self-care. So even choosing a particularly delightful coffee cup, feeling that you can still dress in a certain way when you want to, just reminding yourself of the autonomy that is possible. I think helping other people can also be self-care for therapists. I actually think a lot of therapists are getting a lot from the work, not just financially, of course. And we always get a lot from the work, but particularly now, in a way, even though we're in lockdown and we're isolated, we're still connecting with so many different people if we're doing our work. And that can feel like a form of self-care. I don't mean to be kind of brutal about it. I'm not saying that being a therapist is enough as self-care alone. But we just had a team meeting about this, the 20 therapists at the School of Life, about self-care. And I'm going to steal some of their answers to what is most helpful for self-care. Going for walks, talking to friends, watching Netflix, indulging when it comes to what time you wake up, reading something good, eating delicious food, taking care of yourself physically, all of these things that we already know, and maybe they sound quite basic, and maybe people could listen to this and think that is so obvious. What's so obvious is still incredibly important, especially at this moment. And I think that making a point of doing something self-caring every single day is essential. What about you? What have you found most helpful?
Well, a lot of those, yeah, a lot of those. I haven't had the daily freak out yet, though, Charlotte, but I'm going to give it a go. I learn a lot from talking to our psychotherapists. Have you got kind of last messages for UKCP in all of this?
There's something very anchoring about having the support of the regulating body. I think that, again, we're so suspicious of the world right now. We feel so unsafe that feeling safe in our own thoughts and feelings gives us a kind of grounding that we desperately need. So just knowing that this space is available, that we are part of something, as you say, I think that that is incredibly containing. And it's interesting. Containment is a therapy term that psychoanalysts are especially fond of. And I think containment is now on the news every day. And we're so aware of containing the virus and how uncontained it's been. So I think that feeling contained by UKCP is just ever so valuable to us.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, it's a huge privilege to speak to you, and you've given so much of your personal time to this. I would just like to leave you with the kind of image of me holding your coat, Charlotte, while you go and do your incredible life-changing work with the public and with clients and service users. I'm here to hold everyone's coats and hold everything back away from you so you can absolutely work your magic. So thank you for everything that you are doing, and especially now at a time like this.